You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Friday, March 15th. This is The Christian Commute, and you're riding home with me. It's a late Friday, but it's daylight savings time, so I can see my show notes. Now let's see if I can back out of this downtown Calhoun parking spot and not get rear-ended. I made it. I decided to stop to get something to eat on the way home because it's so late. I was going to go to Del Taco, but I was driving through downtown to get there, and I saw a restaurant I'd never been to before, Southern Roads. Service isn't very good. Don't think I'll be back. And I think the mistake was mine, being in the South and stopping at a restaurant called Southern something. And we have Southern food. If you have to say your food is Southern, like, people wouldn't figure it out. I should have caught on to that. Anyway, the food was actually pretty decent. Not impressed with the waitress. So let's see if I can get things back on track. Del Taco would have been better. I mean, it's Southern food, so it was high calorie too. So it's going to make me gain weight. No, well, it wasn't worth it. But I'm going to get back on track with The Christian Commute. Today's show topic is heresy in the cloud. Heresy in the cloud. Or maybe I'll call it asymptomatic carriers. I don't know. I've had this show idea for a long time. I've already done the asymptomatic carrier show idea. Who knows? I'll do it again if I haven't already. And the people, what road am I on? Is this Highway 53? The people on Highway 53, no, it's 41. The people on US 41, or at least these people on US 41, want to go slower than me. I've got a question in the inbox about, I guess, the purpose of hell. And as always, we've got the Bible chapter review. Today's Bible chapter review is from Titus chapter 1. We continue. In Titus chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 10 and 11. And Paul has just gotten through talking about the qualifications for overseers. And he has made mention that they have to be able to teach. And they also have to be able to refute error, to refute false doctrine. And he goes on to say why. There's a situation. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced, because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. So Paul is saying that the overseer has to be able to teach sound doctrine and refute false doctrine. And right there, in Crete, as is the case all over the world today and has been since then, right there in Crete, there are false teachers. So there's people already out there who are upsetting whole families, teaching things they shouldn't teach. And get this, why are they teaching it? They're teaching it for the sake of sordid gain. Now, Paul just said that the overseer must not be someone who is fond of sordid gain. Because here you have what we call in the business world, or at least business school, I've never heard anybody say this at work except me, a perverse incentive, which is there's a situation created which incentivizes someone to do something wrong. So when you're a teacher at a church, especially if you're getting paid, you have a perverse incentive because people are looking to you for guidance, and you have a perverse incentive to enrich yourself using your power. And now I'm passing Del Taco, where I should have gone. So I could have got healthy fish tacos. I don't know if I want to eat fish tacos from a fast food restaurant. I want to rethink that. Anyway, sordid gain. Back to the Bible chapter review, what I'm actually talking about. So when the overseer goes to refute the false teacher who's teaching things that he shouldn't be teaching for the sake of sordid gain, the overseer is going to observe, hey, this guy It's pretty lucrative to be a false teacher. He's getting gain. It's sordid gain. I could rebuke him and stop the sordid gain, or I could join in myself and get a piece of the action. Some of the sordid gain. So, the overseer has to be someone above reproach and not fond of sordid gain. They're in a position of both power and trust, or I should say he is in a position of both power and trust. He also is not supposed to be rebellious. Remember that? He's not supposed to be rebellious. Paul says that the rebellious men are the ones teaching what they ought not to teach. And he refers to them as empty talkers and deceivers. So they have words. The words sound right. They may have speech that makes a point, that sounds good, but it's ultimately empty. They're bunko artists, if you will. So you may hear them. It's like listening to Jensen Franklin. Oh, wow, what a good speaker, and he's engaging. But then you dig down on what he's saying, and wait a second, this is empty. There's nothing behind it. So it's all for show. Specious. On the surface, it looks like, oh, wow, what great words, what good preaching. But when you dig down to it, it's empty. There's nothing behind it. It's not supported by sound doctrine. It's without substance. It's all flash. There's nothing inside of it. It's like gold-plated jewelry. It looks good on the outside, but on the inside, it's cheap. I'm merging. I'm merging on the I-75. It takes extreme skill to merge on the I-75. I, for one, cannot review the Bible and merge on I-75 at the same time. Paul also calls them deceivers. They are actively lying to other people. They are actively deceiving other people. They're not just saying big empty words, false speeches. They're lying to people. They're teaching false doctrine and tricking others. They're leading other people astray, and it's malicious. When you're deceiving someone this way, it's malicious. So these are malicious men. And Paul says they must be silenced. Well, how are you going to silence them? Tell them to shut up? No, you toss water on the fire. So the fire that burns is their false doctrine and false teaching. And the water to snuff it out is sound doctrine. You say what the Bible really means. The real man of God tells what the real word of God really means. Snuff it out. They must be silenced. Because they're upsetting whole families. Listen, let me just talk about my personal life, and maybe you can relate. And I'm not trying to say my personal life comes from the Bible. So every Sunday, I get up and I go to church. I attend, though I am not a member of, First Baptist Church of Cartersville. I'm a member of a different church, Fellowship Baptist Church in Montana. So every Sunday, I get up, I take my family to First Baptist Cartersville. All right? We park in the same place. Actually, First Baptist Cartersville has a valet for people with young children. So we valet the car. I assume they park it in the same place. We see the same people. We go up to the little machine that you put stickers on your kids. We take our kids to Sunday school. They see the same kids in Sunday school that they play with and learn with, and the same Sunday school teachers. We go to our Sunday school class. We see the same people, and we eat the same sausage balls every Sunday with those people. That's what we do on Sunday. And we are there at that place with those other people, and they're a part of our lives. Wednesday night, same thing. We go, we eat there. The kids go to their kids' choir. It is a family activity. It is something that our family engages in every day and looks forward to. When church gets jacked up, it jacks up your family. Because Christian families are involved in a local church. So when these false teachers come in and start deceiving people, they're deceiving families in church, and it could cause a split. It could cause people to leave the church. It upsets families. And at home, when the father and mother start believing in wrong-headed things, it's going to have an effect on their family life. Like a prosperity preaching. Let's say you got a housewife who's at home without much to do, watching TBN, and she gets into the prosperity preaching. So while her husband's away at work, she's frittering money away, donating it to Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen, looking to sow a seed. And now the family is suffering because she's given away their money to try and sow a seed with the Lord. It wrecks families, this kind of false teaching. Whatever it is, it's false teaching. Paul says, especially those of the circumcision. So these people of the circumcision, they're going to be probably ethnic Jews, or they could be Gentiles who've converted to Judaism through being circumcised. And now they're trying to keep their old Jewish philosophies intact instead of transitioning into the new covenant. And that could be upsetting the families. We talk about the party of circumcision. There's a party of circumcision in Galatia that Paul was dealing with in the Galatian church, Judaizers. They're upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for sordid gain. People, I have found, and I've talked about this on the show before, people just want to give false teachers the benefit of the doubt. Oh, they mean well. Oh, they say they love Jesus. Well, how do you know that? What if they're teaching for sordid gain? I tend to see false teachers, and I easily identify their path to sordid gain. So the antithesis of people, getting down to it, who are qualified to be elders. Elders are supposed to not be rebellious. They're supposed to be self-controlled. They're supposed to reject sordid gain. So they can go up against the people who are fond of sordid gain and are rebellious. And they have to be skilled in that. All right, now let's move on to the inbox. SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. It is your short source for Christian apologetic answers. If you have a question about Christian apologetics or theology, you can write in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. Tell me where you're from and keep it short, please. You can also dial 470-315-0875. That number again is 470-315-0875. That's the Christian Commute Roadside Assistance Line. Today's submission is in the inbox, and it comes from Jeff in Northwest Georgia. So once again, Jeff, thank you for writing in. Frequent listener, frequent contributor. Jeff asks, why do sinners go to hell? Is it punishment? Does it settle a debt? And what purpose is accomplished by that? So kind of a long question. First of all, let's establish what hell is. Hell is the eternal destination of the non-elect, of the unregenerate, of the reprobate, of the damned. Especially intended for Satan and his angels, but also it will be the final destination of, a final eternal destination of non-Christians, the unelect, the non-regenerate, sinners. The world is broken down into two kinds of people, sinners and saints. That's it. They're sinners and saints. That's it. So the saints will be on the new heavens and the new earth, eternally with Jesus, living eternal life. And the second death is being cast into lake of fire to eternal torment with the devil and his angels. That hasn't happened yet. That happens after the great white throne judgment. So there's no one in hell right now. There are people in Hades. There are unrighteous people in Hades, and they are in torment. But they are, or I should say, they're in agony. But they have not faced the final judgment yet, and they have not been cast into hell with Satan and his angels. Satan and his angels have not been cast into hell yet either. So, hell, eternal conscience torment separated from God, fire and brimstone. That's what hell is. Now, why do sinners go there? Well, it is punishment. That's what Jesus says in Matthew, what is it, Matthew 25, about the sheep and the goats, and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Into hell, or I think he says into the eternal fire or something like that, prepared for Satan and his angels. And you also see the great white throne judgment, people being cast there. And in Matthew 25, Jesus says it's punishment. It is a punishment for sin. So sinners go to hell as a punishment. Does it settle a debt? No, it doesn't. So sinners have a sin debt to God, but their sin debt has not been paid. Jesus paid the sin debt of the saints at the cross. And somebody's saying, it's sinners, it's limited atonement. Not getting into that. All right? So at the cross, Jesus made atonement for sin. That satisfied the sin debt of the saints. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, not only did Jesus bear God's wrath, He also paid the sin debt of the sinner. So it was expiation, the blood, the shedding of blood and propitiation, the settling of the wrath. So there's atonement, paying the debt, and the propitiation with the bearing God's wrath. So God is righteous, God is just, sin has to be paid for. Jesus paid for it. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin was but a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. So as a redeemed saint, Jesus has paid my sin debt, though I no longer owe it. His righteousness is imputed to me. So I don't go to hell. My debt's been paid. My punishment has been taken. By His stripes we are healed. Jesus took my punishment on the cross. Now, lost people, no one has taken their punishment. So they're going to be punished in hell. And the debt is never settled. Never settled. Because they don't have any kind of currency that could settle it. So let's say I went down to Wells Fargo, and I took out a $20,000 loan to buy Studio D, a new Honda CRV. I guess I'd need $30,000. And then I took the loan out to go do that, but instead of buying the CRV, I took the $30,000 and I took a flight to Africa because I'd never seen it. And while I was there, I traded some of my money for African money from one of those unstable African countries. Then I came back to the U.S. and Wells Fargo said, "Where's your car? Where's our car payment?" I didn't buy it. I spent the money to go to Africa. But here, I've got some African money to pay you back with. Like, we don't want that. We don't accept that. That's not U.S. currency. It's not even a euro or a yen. Or a yuan, or a ruble from some stable country. It's from one of these banana republics in Africa. You know, they got a new president every day. That money's no good here. It's the same thing with a sinner trying to pay for his sin. He can say he's sorry all he wants. He can do works if he wants to, but it will never pay for it. He can't do it. He doesn't have any kind of valid currency. The only thing that could pay for our sin is a spotless lamb, and that's Jesus. So we have to repent and trust in the finished work of Christ. So the sinner in hell has no way to pay his sin debt. So his debt is never paid. Hell doesn't burn off his debt, so to speak. It's not like you've sinned, so now you got to do 100 years in hell to pay off your debt. You're not you can't work. It's not like going to debtor's prison and then working off your debt for someone. Like somebody puts you in debtor's prison and then you have to go work in the debtor's prison for, you know, 10 cents a month, and the government takes 5 cents and then your creditor gets 5 and eventually you pay your way out. That's not how it works. So people are not in hell paying off their sin debt. They're in hell sinning because they hate God still. Every second that somebody is in hell, he's sinning. He's sitting there resenting God with the devil and his angels. So no, it doesn't pay off a debt. And yes, it's punishment. So you ask, what purpose is accomplished? Punishment is the purpose, and it's accomplished every second somebody's in hell in perpetuity forever. It's not discipline as we'd understand, like parental discipline. Like if my kid does something, what's my kid going to do? If my kid draws on the walls with crayons after I told him not to draw on the wall, I'm going to give him a spanking. That's punishment. But I'm also going to explain to him, do you know why I'm doing this? You disobeyed me. You damaged the house. That's bad. You're punished, and you're going to learn not to do it again. Now you're going to, I'm leading you, son, to you being able to say that you're sorry and repent of your sins. It was a sin to disobey me and draw on the wall, and I'm punishing you. That's discipline, because I'm trying to get him to act right the next day. I'm trying to correct his behavior, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. If you're a Christian, you can expect the discipline of the Lord. But the people in hell aren't getting discipline, they're only getting punishment. So punishment's part of discipline, but they're not getting the teaching and changing of behavior part. They're just damned. They're unholy, so they can't be around a holy God. The purpose of hell is to punish evildoers, the sinners, and the devil and his angels, and separate them from everyone else. Hell is separation from God and God's people. God's people don't have to worry about the punishment because Jesus already took it on the cross. Now, I would be remiss if I did not transition into the gospel. If you're listening to me right now and you are not a Christian, you've never repented of your sins, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, as your Savior, now is the time to do it, because the wrath of God is upon you right now. It has been your entire life. It's on you right now, and it will be on you in perpetuity until such a time as you die and are resurrected to judgment before the great white throne of God and cast into hell, because your works are like filthy rags before a righteous God, and no good you could ever do or have done or will do can pay your sin debt, and you will bear the full wrath of God. But, good news, this is the gospel. God has provided a way via His Son, Jesus Christ, whereby your debt can be paid, whereby your punishment can be borne. Jesus died on the cross and bore the sin debt, or paid the sin debt and bore the punishment, I should say. And if you have faith in Jesus, in what Jesus did, not by works, but you'll be saved by grace through faith if you'll repent of your sins and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you want to make that decision, or if you did make that decision, write me at SethDunn88@gmail.com and tell me about it. I can try to help you get into church and get baptized and be discipled so that you can know what it means to live as a Christian. You got saved, Now it's time to be saved. So Jeff, thank you for writing in with that interesting question about hell. And Jeff's question, there's always another side to it. So it's like a mountain in a cloud. Well, there's the bottom of it, but you can't see the top. So Jeff, I hope I got to the top of the mountain for you and answered your question 100%. Jeff's questions are always very good like that. All right, now let's move on to today's show title, Heresy in the Cloud, or Asymptomatic Carriers. I saw a post on Facebook today. I see posts on Facebook like this all the time. And it's controversy over vaccinations. Should we vaccinate our kids or not? And how are we supposed to look at people who don't vaccinate their kids? And the people who don't vaccinate their kids, they say this, well, what are you so worried about if your kid's vaccinated and the vaccines are so good and I don't vaccinate my kid and he gets sick? Well, what are you worried about? Your kid's not going to get it. He's vaccinated. And people see that, oh, that's a really good argument. Kind of shuts it down. Here's the deal, though. There's something out there called an asymptomatic carrier. So let's say you're somebody like me. And I have 5 kids, and two of them stay home. One goes to preschool, and two of them go to kindergarten. They're twins, and you have to be vaccinated to go to the kindergarten, right? So they're vaccinated. So let's say there's some other kids who aren't vaccinated for measles, mumps, rubella, or whatever the million things they vaccinate them for. I'm sure some of it is trying to get a copay. I'm not stupid. They're exposed to measles, mumps, and rubella. The virus gets in them, but because they have antibodies from the vaccine, the virus which lives in them does them no harm. All right? So the unvaccinated kids don't hurt the vaccinated kids, but they become asymptomatic carriers. Carriers of a disease who can give the disease to others but show no symptoms of it themselves. So what happens? They come home to my undesignated baby. My kindergartners come home to my undesignated, unvaccinated 6-month-year-old or 2-year-old. I don't know what all vaccines they have or how early they give them. And then the baby gets sick with MMR. And then the baby dies, or the baby can't have kids when he gets older. So yes, if you're vaccinated and you're exposed to the virus or the disease or whatever, you will not get sick, but you will still get it actively in you, and you can go home and carry it to somebody else. Now, I'm not a scientist or doctor by any means, all right? Somebody can correct me if they are. But if you got the germs all over you from it, you're not going to get it because you've got the antibodies inside you, but you've got the active germs, and you might go give that to somebody else. And there are various diseases like that. Like hepatitis is one. If your mom had hepatitis, you're born with antibodies. But then your blood gets on somebody else and they get hepatitis because they weren't born with the antibodies. They get sick from it. You didn't get sick. You're an asymptomatic carrier. That's why vaccines for society, or that's the thought, I should say, of the goodness for vaccines for society, because it prevents public health disasters. Now, what does that have to do with heresy in the cloud? Or heresy, why am I talking about vaccines? Because you have asymptomatic carriers at your church. Did you know that? Asymptomatic carriers at your church. These are people who will never leave your church to go to some prosperity gospel nonsense church. They will live and die at your church. And if they move, they'll go to another Orthodox church just like yours. But what do? They listen to Louis Giglio podcasts. They do Stephen Furtick Bible studies. And the false ideas of Stephen Furtick and his false teaching for sordid gain get in their head. And the false ideas of what church should be get in their head. Louis Giglio does church like this at Passion City. Stephen Furtick does church like this at Elevation. These are some good ideas. They're growing. I really enjoy their sermons. I have some friends who go there, etc., etc. And then they come to your church, because they're members there, and they recommend Stephen Furtick and Louis Giglio and whoever else to other people. And these other people, you know, they want to go to the business meeting and vote on something. Yeah, they're not just sitting there. Because you've got people at your church who they're going to sit on their butt and tithe and they'll never do anything else. You need church members like that. The preacher will tell you, I need church members like that because they're paying for stuff. Yeah, they're really not going out and doing any Great Commission stuff, but they're keeping the light bill on. They're filling a seat. It's like at the Oscars or the Tonys, the awards show. They don't want to have empty seats. That looks bad. They love seat fillers. There's some preachers up there telling you, don't be a seat filler, volunteer. Listen, they love seat fillers. They'd rather you volunteer, but they also don't want you to go home. They'd rather you sit there and do nothing for the rest of your life, fill in a pew, than to go home. Because at least you're there. So these seat fillers, the heresy is coming into them, but it's not really affecting them. They're not doing anything. They're not getting sick because, you know, for whatever reason, they're either lethargic or apathetic, or they like the way things are done at your church and they think, well, these things that Louis Giglio and Stephen Furtick or whoever else are saying are good, but I don't really want to change it here. But I really enjoy listening to these people, so I'm going to recommend it to others. I'm going to share it on Facebook. You know, I'm going to bring them up in Sunday school. I'm going to hear a point that they said, and then I'm going to repeat their point. I might not even cite them. I just said, well, I think this, because they've been picking up on their teaching. And what you have in your church is an asymptomatic carrier. The heresy in the cloud, you know, the cloud that people talk about out there on the internet, on the servers, the cloud. And everybody can access the cloud. So they don't have any Stephen Furtick sermons at their house or any Louis Giglio sermons at their house, but they're subscribed to, you know, ChristianSermons.inc or whatever you call it, Right Now Media. I mean, they have all kinds of stuff out there, and they can get all the Andy Stanley and Mike Bickle and Stephen Furtick or Matt Chandler, for that matter, whoever. Well, that's just in the cloud. That's our preacher, our pastor would never, ever, in the Chris Jericho voice, he would never, ever preach like Stephen Furtick. Our elders would never, ever set up our church like Louis Giglio does Passion City Church. We'd never do that. And that's not what they teach. The teaching from that pulpit is sound. Didn't say it wasn't. But the heresy in the cloud, listen to me, the heresy in the cloud doesn't come in through the pulpit. It doesn't come in through Sunday morning. It doesn't come in through the Sunday school teacher. So I want you to think about it. The teaching elder, the teaching pastor, he's up there. He's preaching Bible. You know, sound as granite. All right? The Sunday school teacher, he's up there sticking to the lesson plan, just teaching the Bible. Sound as it gets. Even the music minister's not playing elevation music. So nothing, I'm sorry, and then the elders, when they have a church business meeting, they're not trying to make things look like North Point or Passion City Church. They're not trying to do that at all. So nothing coming from the church management is heretical or bad. It's all good. It's not only website orthodox, but for real orthodox. But what about that cloud, though? Because now people are listening to that cloud in their car. They're listening to the podcast. I hope, wouldn't it be great if they were all listening to the Christian Commute and it's just reinforcing sound theology and they're just listening to the Bible and me answer questions about hell? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But we know that's not what happened. We know that this podcast gets an itty, itty, bitty, little, tiny amount of downloads every day. And Joel Osteen gets thousands upon thousands. And Louis Giglio gets thousands upon thousands. And then people hear it, and then they go visit his church, and they say, we want to go back to our church and do this. Here, it's like, you ever seen that movie, Arachnophobia, where the spiders kill everybody in the small town? Somebody from the small town goes on a trip to the jungle. He picks up a spider from the jungle. The spider comes home. It mates with a native spider in America in a little small town, and then they have poison spider babies that you'll kill everybody. The spiders in the town were fine. This is an old movie, Arachnophobia, with Jeff Daniels and John Goodman. The spiders in the town were fine, but somebody went out of the country, brought it back, and it jacked up everything in the country. It's like somebody went to Africa, got Ebola, and now everybody here has Ebola. Somebody visited Passion City Church. They came back and said, we got to do Passion City Church. Like, I did it. I saw Passion City Church. I saw North Point Church. It was full, and they were playing rock and roll, and they're young people. We never see young people here. We got to do it. Or they listened to it in the podcast, and they just started mentioning it to people. So remember that guy who's just not, you know, the asymptomatic carrier? He's not pushing Passion City Church polity or Andy Stanley Church polity or Stephen Furtick on anybody. Not doing it. But he mentions it to somebody, and then they go visit. That's the heresy in the cloud. And that's what pastors and Sunday school teachers and elders, really it's not the job of Sunday school teachers, that's what elders need to watch out for. Heresy in the cloud. And that's what you got to keep your ears open for. Because usually you listen to your pastor, right? He's up there preaching and you're listening to him and everybody else is listening to him. And what you say in Sunday school is, I really liked what Pastor so-and-so said this morning during the sermon. Or it's just like Pastor so-and-so said last week. Or didn't Pastor so-and-so make a good point? Oh yeah, I like that point too. And you're talking about Pastor so-and-so. And everybody heard Pastor so-and-so. And if Pastor so-and-so said something funny, people would be like, what? What? What was that? Because you're paying attention. But when the guy sitting beside you in Sunday school says, well, Stephen Furtick said this, and you don't know anything about Stephen Furtick. All right, Stephen Furtick's some pastor. I'm not scrutinizing Stephen Furtick. He's not my pastor. And then that's in there. Keep your ears open. Because listen, Stephen Furtick and Louis Giglio and Andy Stanley and Perry Noble and Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen are big beyond their own church walls. Your pastor, his message may never get out of your church walls. Nobody's ever heard of him. But these other people with nationally popular churches, and they're selling books, and they're going on speaking tours, they're getting into yours. It's that heresy out there in the cloud, and it's raining down on your fellow church members. And they're starting to get ideas from Louis Giglio and Andy Stanley and Matt Chandler. Says, why are you putting Matt Chandler with Louis Giglio? Racial reconciliation and social justice, that's why. And all of these ideas get in their heads. And from their heads, it gets in your church business meeting. And all of a sudden, 5 years from now, you're fighting heresy and you don't even know where it came from. It all started when you heard somebody mention it in Sunday school and you didn't say anything to them because they were an asymptomatic carrier. They looked fine. But now, the heresy they brought in through the cloud has infected other people in the church, and it's upsetting whole families. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again on Monday. During this weekend, please keep your questions about theology and apologetics coming to SethDunn88@gmail.com. And until then, remember that Christianity is not about getting saved. Christianity is about being saved. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.